This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
May. Ball comes out. Going the other way with it. Touchdown.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Take it back to Seattle. You're Super Bowl champ.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We did it.
And now we're world champions.
Today's guests. Pro Football Hall of Famer Steve Young. Comedian Bert Kreischer. Your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody, back here in the Los Angeles studios of the Rich Eisen Show here on this post-Super Bowl 60 Monday edition of the program. Happy to have you with us here today, whether you're watching us on Disney Plus or the ESPN app. Hour 3 is going to be on ESPN 2 later today. Just a heads up to those who might be listening, walking around, listening to us, driving around on ESPN Radio or Sirius XM Channel 80. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Phone lines are already lit. Thrilled to be sitting here in this neighborhood. Steve Young, who was introduced prior to the game, hanging out with Green Day on the pregame stage last night with all the returning Super Bowl MVPs like Joe Montana and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Jalen Hurts, just to name four. He is going to be joining us in about an hour's time. And then hour three, why not? We break down Super Bowl 60 on ESPN2 with Bert Kreischer. So that's the way we're rolling here on this day. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. What's going on?
We could have used Bert on the offensive line last night.
That's possible. We'll ask him what he was doing.
Could have used the machine.
You know? The Bad Bunny of the Rich Eisen Show. Mike Del Tufo is here, everybody. Hey.
Right from the fields.
Buenos dias.
Bueno.
Miguel.
Yes.
Good to see you, TJ Jefferson. How are you?
Don't ever compare Benito to Del Tufo.
My bad.
Man. Oh. Come on, please. Please don't do that. It's Benito. That's Bad Bunny.
My bad, sir.
My bad, Bunny.
How are you doing, man? Because you put in work yesterday,
dog. Yeah, just a bunch of hours on TV and then watched the game with Suze and Cooper and brother-in-law, nephews, and then got back here so I could be sitting here chopping up Super Bowl 60 with you. Why not?
How's the back of your head? Because I know you said the sun was eating you up.
I appreciate that. I am face forward and happy today and thrilled to be covered. So thank you for joining us on this program. The Seattle Seahawks, the best team in the National Football League, and they earned that moniker. They earned it with a team effort. Every phase of football is necessary to be a championship team, and they nailed it. You have to also have outstanding coaching. You also have to have outstanding grocery shopping.
That part.
And they nailed it. They nailed it. They got a team together that got better as the season went along and faced whatever adversity they faced and faced it down and then beat down the opponent that they had placed in front of them every single step of the way, with the exception of the Rams, who they went ahead and just got through by being the better executing team at the end of the day. They got some breaks too along the way. You got to have those, to be straight up honest with you. They got some breaks, like New York City chiming in a week 16 game saying that 2-point conversion, that was an incomplete pass. Hold on a second. But you also have to have somebody smart enough like Zach Charbonnet to pick up a loose football and having no idea he just converted a 2-point play that the Seahawks utilized with their stellar quarterback, who will never, ever look you in the eye and say, I can't, which is why we follow sports. Somebody like Sam Darnold put it all together, and you had a 29-13 score that wasn't really even that close. I was there in that building. It felt over from jump. It really did, because once again, that Seattle defense jumped all over the opponent in front of them. and they were all over that New England offensive line. They dominated the trenches. They dominated the trenches. Kenneth Walker III dominated the running game. Their place kicker dominated the place kicking. And Mike McDonald dominated the coaching. He dominated this team the minute he took over, and he's an unassuming character who has this burning desire and fire, and he's got this totem pole in his locker and in his meeting room where he is placing one helmet on top of the other of every team that they have beaten, which is a chest-thumping way that he does not give off externally of coaching this team. And they respond. Honestly, last night, the Seahawks get the ball first. They march down the field. They got a little bit of a break. I don't know. Again, I'm in the stadium. I thought Cooper Kupp bobbled that ball a little bit, certainly when he went out of bounds, but they were on it. They got a little bit of a break there. They got right on the football, and they matriculated a little bit further, just enough to get the first 3 points on the board, and then say, Drake May, young'un, with whatever you got going on that left side of your offensive line, and then whatever you got going on that right side of your shoulder, see what you can do. And he couldn't do anything. I was sitting up in the stands behind the end zone that Seattle was first trying to score into. They were heading towards me to start the game, and Drake May was heading away from me in the first quarter. And it's one of those game tape views that coaches have from the end zone. I mean, I could see it all. The Seahawks could not do anything but blanket everybody. And thus, the Patriots could not do a damn thing. Drake May holding on the ball a little bit too long. Well, for good reason.
Yeah.
They couldn't get open.
Nope.
Those defenders were plastering. They were all over what New England was cooking up. And then that offensive line just couldn't hold up. There had to be times this week where Mike Vrabel knew it. Had to be times this week where he's just like, we got our hands full. I just hope we get this break, that break, and that Sam Darnold makes a mistake. You know, after the game, Mike Vrabel was talking about what happened in the middle of this game and what went wrong in this game. And what you're about to hear is a soliloquy of sorts for him where the short answer is, what went wrong in this game? Everything.
We couldn't gain any rhythm, field position. We got to get into drives better offensively. Defensively, we've been really good against the run lately, and we weren't. And, again, we were just playing catch-up. And we did a great job in the red zone, and we competed. But unfortunately, I think the turnovers – ultimately costed us, and I appreciate the way that the guys offensively battled and competed, but just not enough consistent, execution.
Everything. Field position, that's the special teams part of it.
Oh, man. They made a case that Dixon should have been MVP of the game.
Well, at some point, Jason Myers, we were wondering, could you even make a kicker the MVP of the Super Bowl? he was just making the kicks.
Yeah.
Because Seattle was doing just enough. And Michael Dixon, punter.
Unreal.
That he, a couple times, he kicked it straight down the middle to Marcus Jones. And any Jet fan will tell you, that's a mistake. And there were times, though, when New England was potentially getting like, hey, we're still in this thing. We're just a one touchdown away from leading this game. Hey, it's only 9-0. We're one touchdown away from just getting back in this thing and flipping the entire script. And Dixon would cough and corner him. There was that one time when it was 19-7 and Marcus Jones, for whatever reason, did not fair catch it. And he ran up the field and then the ball got down inside the 2-yard line. And when I saw that, I thought to myself, this thing is a wrap again. May did matriculate the ball well enough, but then he threw the interception to Julian Love right over the middle. That's another unkind cut for a New York sports fan, former Giant, that the Seattle Seahawks just scooped up and said, thank you very much. We will make him part of a defense that is not only great, but potentially, at the end of the day, generationally great. I don't know if we have that defensive board at the ready, but I will just read these off for you. The Seattle defense last night, just to give more statistics to what Mike Vrabel basically just said, couldn't get any rhythm, couldn't get any special, we couldn't get any field position, we couldn't do anything. 6 sacks for the Seattle defense, 11 quarterback hits, 8 tackles for loss, 3 takeaways, 1 a pick 6. They scored, they got home, they created havoc, they got May off the spot, they got May on the ground, they got May potentially sped up, they got May potentially flustered, and dare I say it, seeing ghosts. That's what they did to New England in Super Bowl 60. Mike McDonald in victory talking about the process.
There's always some part of your team that you're trying to attack and improve on, but if you stick to the process and the process is right, you know, then the results will get to where you want. But I think what you saw today is just the end point of a team that has been dedicated to become this team since we walked in the door in April. And it started with our offseason program. It started, then it went to training camp and how they handled the offseason. And we just did it week by week.
It's coach speak in a way, but it's also, because we're all looking for, why did this happen? How did a team that wasn't really on many people's radars coming into the season do what they just did? And how can we copy it? How can we as a fan say, look at Seattle, we can do that? Or front offices around the league saying, how did that happen? We have a plan. We have a process. What have they got going on? And I don't know what the answer is, because if I did, RES Consulting would be in a lot of other businesses. Okay. But again, when you've got a general manager like John Schneider, who is now the first general manager in the history of this great Super Bowl era game, first one to win 2 Super Bowls with a different head coach and a different quarterback in each of the Super Bowls, and because Howie Roseman's done that and Ozzie Newsom's done that, win 2 different Super Bowls with a different coach and a different quarterback, okay? And they both did it. But both of them had members of that second Super Bowl win of that team be part of the roster from the first. John Schneider's the first to do it with 2 completely different rosters. There's not a soul that was on that team in the 53 men in Super Bowl 60 that won Super Bowl 48. Not one. 2 different rosters. You got to have that guy have a plan connected to a coach like Mike McDonald, who can then send it out into a locker room and connect all of them together in a way that makes everyone believe and makes everyone execute and makes everyone look at the other man and hold them accountable and then maraud with every snap of the football with speed and intelligence and grit and determination. And I think I just described the 2025 Seattle Seahawks. You could say that about many champions, obviously, every single year. But this one is quarterbacked by a guy that I think can also personify what I've just said about belief and accountability and excellence in the face of, where did this come from? And that's Sam Darnold. I cannot believe he is a Super Bowl champion. Now, again, that's my, you know, perspective of growing up a Jet fan and having a T-shirt that says not the same darn old Jets. Putting belief in Broadway Sam. Okay. Right. Having that guy go from the Jets to the Panthers and sit there and go, absolutely. Let's see what Zach Wilson's got. Because Sam ain't it. I didn't see anything. He's the guy that couldn't beat the Patriots. He's the guy that couldn't play clean football games. He's the guy that 100% the new head coach and Robert Saleh should not have to own whatever his deficiencies are. He should start something new. Send him to Carolina, where he wins three games and he's 3-0. And we were joking here on the Rich Eisen Show. Hey, it's MVP Sam Darnold. Isn't that funny? We thought we were funny.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Screw it. We were funny. we were just part of the chorus, really, to be honest. Like, really? Sam Darnold going to go to Carolina and be the MVP? And then it all fell to crap there as they got Baker Mayfield as well. Two guys from the 2018 class that were asked to leave their place of business that drafted him. Then he goes to San Francisco, where he grabs a clipboard. And Christian McCaffrey, who was a guest on our show last week, teammate in both spots, said the thing about Sam Darnold in both spots, where he had just been excommunicated by the team that drafted him, and then wound up, because that was so bad, as a backup quarterback. He said that Sam Darnold was the same guy in both spots. Now, I'm wondering, when you heard him say that the other day, did you believe it? Not saying that Christian McCaffrey is a liar.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting there going, that's tough to believe,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Really? Same guy? Like, he's not getting down, or he's not bitter, he's not cynical, he's just putting his nose to the grindstone? Really? And Christian McCaffrey's like, yeah. I'm like, okay.
All right.
Picked up a few things in Camp Shanahan and goes to Minnesota, where he gets a slight door open. Just a slight door open. Because he's there, and they're going to draft somebody from this 2024 draft class, one would think. Because, again, Sam Darnold's on team four. What were we expecting from him? And the kid who they drafted, and J.J. McCarthy, doesn't make it out of preseason healthy. Out for the season. All right, Sam, it's you. We're going to rally around Sam Darnold, and we're going to win, essentially, what Kevin O'Connell said. And he wins 14 games. And his teammates love him. And they hoist him on his shoulders after he beats the Packers. Only for us to start believing, once again, who is Sam Darnold anyway? Because he had his head on the ceiling the next week against the Lions, and the week after that against the Rams in the playoffs. And it's now time to see what the kids got in J.J. McCarthy. And Darnold is now a free agent, decides to not stay in Minnesota, doesn't look over his shoulder and see J.J. McCarthy standing there. Other options weren't good enough for him, I guess, or welcoming enough for him, or comfortable enough for him. And he goes to Seattle. I'll join your group. I'll be your guy. And he's a Super Bowl champion today. It's crazy. This is why we watch sports. Journeys like this.
Yeah, but even Seattle wasn't sold. That was essentially a one-year deal.
Well.
But why would they be sold?
This is what happens in the NFL when you have opportunity knocking, as I had wrote and voiced for our opening tease at the NFL Network for Game Day Morning yesterday. When opportunity knocks on Super Sunday, it's best to answer the door. And you know what? It's not going to be hung in the football Louvre. But what Sam Darnold did on Super Sunday was exactly what he needed to do. That's it. He got enough field position for Jason Myers to set a Super Bowl record with 5 field goals. And guess what? Those 5 field goals on its own would have been enough to win Super Bowl 60 with the Patriots coming up with only 13 because of that defense. And Darnold knows that. Guess what I'm not going to do, said Sam Darnold. I'm not going to pull the pin on the grenade like C.J. Stroud and flip it up into the middle of the Patriots' defense when we're up 10-7 in the second quarter of the divisional playoff round in New England when we've got Drake May down and on the run and seemingly struggling to get first downs. I'm not going to do what Jarrett Stidham did, which is be up 7-0 in an AFC championship game and chest pass one like I'm a member of the Denver Nuggets rather than the Broncos. I'm not going to do that. And the Patriots try to bait him into that. You saw that. A couple times he was deep down and back in his own end, and the Patriots were trying to bait him into it. A couple times he did put the ball up for grabs. But he didn't put it essentially in harm's way. Didn't make the mistakes. I heard something from my sweet 14-year-old boy, Cooper, who is needing a hug today. Die-hard Patriot fan. He said words to me during the game that I couldn't believe I was hearing. And it was spot-on true. When the Patriots started having a pulse in that fourth quarter, and the Seahawks get the ball back, he goes, man, Sam Darnold's just not going to make the mistake. And I thought to myself, when the hell has anybody said that with conviction? And you can 100% believe it.
Probably when he was in high school, maybe.
In USC.
Yeah, who knows?
But it's the truth. He didn't make the mistake. And then he finds A.J. Barner on a beautifully designed and called play by the newest head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders and Clint Kubiak. Let Kenneth Walker do the rest. Let his defense do the rest. Let his punter do the rest. And then be Super Bowl champ. Sam Darnold is the first from the 2018 class to win a Super Bowl. Not Baker chosen before him. Not Josh Allen chosen after him. Not Lamar Jackson, who was chosen last in the first round. Allen and Lamar have beaten Sam Darnold to the MVP podium. But Sam Darnold has beaten everyone in that draft class in the first round to the ultimate podium, and had this to say about being that guy last night.
I didn't not believe that I would be the, you know, it's special, man, and it's not, you know, it's not about that. To me, it's never been about that. You know, I'm just doing the best that I can every single day to be the best quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. That's really what it comes down to. And, you know, again, I didn't have my best stuff today, but the team had my back. Our defense, our special teams had our back, and, you know, we just played how we always played, you know, resilient, and, you know, we're came out on top. So it was pretty special.
So as you know, here on the Rich Eisen Show, we talk amongst ourselves in studio, right? We talk with you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I see the phone lines lit. And we talk to guests like Steve Young joining us in a little over half an hour. And we put information in front of you to make you smarter, make you laugh, to just have a conversation, right? But as I like to say, we weave a tapestry around here as well. We like to pull strings from one conversation to the other. And Jordan Palmer, who's known Darnold forever, told us a couple weeks ago that Darnold is internally motivated. He's not externally motivated. That he's not a guy who hears what you're saying, what we're saying, and goes, I'll prove these people wrong. And that's the way he can do what he just did on his fifth team, become the first quarterback in the history of the NFL to win a Super Bowl, having played for five teams. The other two quarterbacks who were in a position to be that first couldn't do it. Chris Chandler in Super Bowl 33 and Earl Morrall in Super Bowl 3. And here he is, Super Bowl 60, champion Sam Darnold. Coaches like that too. They're kind of perfect for each other. Mike McDonald doesn't appear to be externally motivated either. And so that's maybe why Darnold isn't, like, you know, effusive. Somebody even pointed out to him, hey, you're smiling. You're emotional. Here's his answer to that.
It's special. I mean, you know, I shared a great moment with my parents and my fiance, Katie, after the game. And I think that's what kind of got me a little bit. You know, I just I told my, me and my dad don't really cry very often. And, you know, I told my dad I was, you know, and my mom, but, you know, just I'm here because of their belief in me. And they believed in me throughout my entire career. And I think that's why I was able to believe in myself almost ad nauseum. Like I, some people called me crazy throughout my career for believing in myself so much and having so much confidence, but, you know, it was because of my parents, because of the way that they believed in me throughout my entire career. And, it allowed me to go out there and play free and have a ton of confidence.
Man, talking about mom and dad believing him on a Super Bowl night where he's a Super Bowl champion and all he does is clear his throat once, he's an assassin.
Right.
I'd be a puddled mess, but, you know, I'm the dad who cries with the son.
Does he know that he won the Super Bowl and is going to Disneyland tomorrow?
Actually, well, I mean, Kenneth Walker is on his way to Disney.
I would imagine they're all
Disney,
going, right?
You know, today. Maybe so.
Yeah.
But because Kenneth Walker is the MVP, and we'll talk about his journey later on because, as you know, I'm all about the journeys. Sam Darnold is a Super Bowl champ, and part of that is because he doesn't listen to the Jackals. You know?
I think it was super important, man, because now it shows that you got to give these guys a chance, you know?
Oh, it's all about opportunity knocking and busting down the door when you can. And this entire team, soup to nuts, from the front office all the way down to, I'm sure, the staffs who don't get the credit that McDonald's put together and the rest of the front office put together. A++, congratulations, Seattle Seahawks fans. You have a team to be proud of and a championship to boast about. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll talk about the Patriots, Kenneth Walker III, and then at the end of the day, me being right about the MVP choice. Don't go anywhere. We're off and running here on a post-Super Bowl 60 show.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. Rich Eisen here. You know that feeling of handing off your taxes and then hearing nothing? Total radio silence. Well, not anymore. Now your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full service expert who checks for every deduction and keeps you in the loop with real-time updates on your phone. Just match with your dedicated expert, upload your docs, and go live your life, confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. This is how taxes should be. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts. O'Reilly Auto Parts can help take the guesswork out of your check engine, ABS, or maintenance light with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE certified master technicians. O'Reilly Veriscan can identify the most likely problem with just one scan. If you need help, O'Reilly Auto Parts can recommend a shop for you. Don't ignore a check engine, ABS, or maintenance light. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. A free service exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take some phone calls in a moment. Let's talk about your Patriots, Christopher.
I mean, we don't really have to.
You know what? Here's the problem. Let me say this. Okay. We live in a culture where either you're a winner or you're a loser, and that's sad, okay? I'm being honest. I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Okay? Coop, yesterday in the third, fourth quarter, he's just like, man, I got to go to school tomorrow. I'm going to hear crap. And I'm like, Susie and I were like,
unless you're a Seahawks fan, crap. Nobody could say anything.
Right. Like, get out of here. We're like, get out of here. You root for one team that 15 others would give their left you know what for to represent the American Football Conference in a Super Bowl. You know, they would kill to have a quarterback like Drake May, many of them, or a coach like Vrabel, or a general manager like Elliott Wolf, and a bunch of young studs who are becoming, you know, really good to excellent football players as a team. They just ran into a better team on Sunday in many respects. And the same thing, this is what happens in playoffs, in any sport. And if you get past the first two or three rounds in that sport without it biting you, then you're really good. Because at some point, like I've said many times with baseball, if you've got a problem with left-handed hitters, or if you've got a shortstop that can't range one certain way, or if you've got a center fielder that can't track a ball down here, if you've got somebody who cannot catch but hits and you hide them in a certain spot in the field, the baseball is going to find that every time. You got a guy who can't defend on the perimeter and hoops. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, you're going to get caught.
Yeah, the Patriots' biggest weakness all season was
that
left side in particular. And the Seahawks' greatest strength is their front line. What did we kind of think was going
to
happen?
I'm telling you, there had to be moments in the last 2 weeks where Vrabel and his offensive staff and McDaniels, a quiet moment, were like, yeah, what are we going to do here? I think let's come up with a plan. Well, but we are outmanned here.
And yeah, well, whatever the plan was, it clearly wasn't obviously,
it wasn't good,
obviously
enough.
Good enough. But just conversations with my Pats friends during the game, it was like, where were the bubble screens? Where were the quick dump offs to Ramondre and Travion? Where were the design rollouts for May to kind of let's get him moving, and maybe the run pass option was there. It just seems like McDaniels got pretty badly outcoached. And there was no answer from the jump. It was very clear early on that the Pats probably weren't going to score any points, enough points to really win the game.
Well, let me just jump in here, if you don't mind, to basically tell you again, if you don't, we'll just put it up again. From my perspective, this is where I was sitting on the second level behind the Seahawks end zone. Yeah, there it is. And so this is the view I think a lot of coaching tapes will be seen from obviously closer in. This is a little far away to see some things, but the reason why I'm bringing this up is I had great views of the way defenders were defending.
Yeah, nobody was open either.
Chris, this was not a game plan issue. This was not a play calling issue. This was
I'm just
saying that if we played this game 100 times, 99 more times, would you have a couple of shots to win it? I think so. The Seattle Seahawks, though, majority of them just coming out and just beating the crap out of the trenches. And it doesn't matter. Bubble screen this, quick game that. It didn't matter. They were everywhere, and they're coming from everywhere. And Drake May clearly isn't 100% healthy. And Drake May had a bad day. And Drake May had a bad day at the wrong time. Yeah. And part of it is because he wasn't protected. And if you cannot protect up front, it's a wrap. Mm-hmm. It is a wrap. And this thing was a wrap from damn near jump. You could see that the Seahawks were just lying in wait. You know? The big brother waiting for the little brother to come around the corner to just jump out and jump scare him. That's literally what I was seeing yesterday on Sunday night. That's what I was seeing. And I don't know. Would other teams have been better equipped?
Probably not.
You know what? I can't sit here and say a Bo Nix-led Broncos team could have won the game. I think they might have given a better shot at it. Maybe. I don't know. Because they would have been able to better protect their guy, who also doesn't take sacks, and Drake May took a record number of sacks for a quarterback in a postseason. Now, it's fortunate enough. I mean, that stat will be used against him, 20 sacks. And it'll be used against him in a way that, like, hey, it's a team game, one, two. The reason why you have so many sacks to take is because you played four games in the playoffs, which is the goal for pretty much every team. This, you know, if the goal is obviously to be a bye week team to win the Super Bowl, like, say, the Seahawks just did. But you played four playoff games, and you got a young team. And you got a young team that arrived sooner than expected. And so that's my glass half full view of this thing. A lot of people are going to be like, they were Fergazi. They had a bad schedule. They had an easy schedule all year, and they got finally shown up. They won the games they needed to win in front of the people that they were playing against. They did it 17 times this year. They did it 14 times in the regular season, and they did it three times in the playoffs. They won 17 football games. With Drake May as their quarterback, they got boat raced in a Super Bowl. That does leave a mark. And, you know, you got Drake May talking about how he was proud of the team. He was proud of the way that everything went down. And he got really emotional.
Man, I'm so proud. That's probably the reason I'm choked up most. This team is something that just glad to be part of.
Yeah, it's got to be tough for him, clearly, that he envisioned greatness. He envisioned that Brady moment, or he envisioned doing it for his teammates. I just gave you two individual things, and probably landed on the real thing, is that he knows there's a bunch of guys in the room in a quarterback-driven league that he feels like he let down, and that includes his head coach, which has really got what got him going.
Yeah, he was a heartbeat. No doubt about that. He was he's a big reason why we're here. He's always the same, and look forward to, you know, my relationship with him for a long time. He's a great person and hell of a football coach.
Well, and I'll just say this to Drake May, even though he's probably not looking for my two cents. Hey, Drake, in the same way that Darnold became the first in the 2018 class to go to the Super Bowl and he won it, you're the first of the terrific, clearly, 2024 class to get to the Super Bowl. And no matter how bad you're feeling right now, no matter how you feel like you're putting it on yourself, okay, Jaden Daniels wishes he had that chance last year, and he couldn't do it against the Eagles. You did. You did. And you showed guts and determination all year long, arms, legs, the whole thing. And this is only going to make him stronger. Mike Vrabel, also, for you Pats fans out there, he's not going to, I mean, whatever, he knows what went wrong, and he knows how to fix it. And this is him on seeing the disappointment on his players' faces, including his quarterback.
We spend a lot of time together, and I'm sure he's over there talking about all the things that he has to do to improve and what he could have done better, and those are the types of guys that we have. I care deeply about them. And I'm confident that they'll be back, and they'll do everything that they can to help this team and improve. And I mean, we won a lot of football games with the guys that we have, and Drake's a big reason why we're here. So I can't wait to get back and coach him again. I'm sure they're going to want a break from me. The show goes on. We got to get back to work.
They will. You got to, I mean, what a dream. What a season. 17 wins.
Yeah,
and incredible. You know, and the whole business of their schedule, you can only play who you play. They got better each time. And then, you know, on top of it, they went into Western New York and everybody thought this was the Bills season. Beat them. I know they lost the Bills later on at home. The Ravens were a stout team, feeling that they were ready to go on a run, and, as you know, almost won their division. They took care of business there too. And then they won three playoff games, and this is only going to make them stronger. And last year they had a terrific draft. They got all these young stud players. I'm not going to sit here and boat race and say May is Fergazi and this team is Fergazi. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. You know, next year, a lot of the teams that weren't in the playoffs, we think will be back. It'll be a tougher road. but they're more road tested than anybody else. It was their first loss away from New England all year long on Sunday.
So. Yeah, kind of funny just looking at the stat, the box score right now. Drake May had a better passer rating than Sam Darnold.
Well, that dude.
That seems off. That game was over.
No, and he started winging it around.
Just look at the box score. Also, I feel bad that Christian Gonzalez's performance is going to get kind of lost.
Oh, he was terrific.
He kind of erased JSN. He was amazing.
There was a big moment at the end of that first half. Okay. Big moment where Cooper Kupp, it looked like he had an incomplete pass, but it looked like he caught it.
Yeah.
I thought he Edelman'd it.
Well, and I turned to Cooper and I said, you want this to be a catch.
Yeah. So
because that would run the clock down to 5 seconds and you'd be forced to kick forcing Seattle to kick a field goal here and you get out of Dodge. Yeah. You're down by 9-0, but you get out of Dodge because they could come back now with the extra time and throw a touchdown pass.
Yep.
And the flip side almost became true. When they did rule it incomplete, and they did have another shot at the end zone, and Jackson Smith and Jigba was open, and Darnold, because again, from my perspective, they're going away from me, and I saw this thing. JSN was open, and Darnold threw a dart at him, and Christian Gonzalez undercut it and almost picked the ball off, and they would have had no points.
Yeah, that play was sick.
That was a crucial sequence. He was awesome. And he's like all pro greatness.
All pro greatness. You're going to have to pay that man.
Remember, he was my pick to win MVP.
He was awesome.
So everybody in New England, enjoy it. It was a great ride. And don't boat race. It just wasn't your night.
Yeah, it happens.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Back to wrap up hour number one. Getting ready for Steve Young in a moment.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
The world moves fast. Your workday, even faster. Pitching products, drafting reports, analyzing data. Microsoft 365 Copilot is your AI assistant for work. Built into Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and other Microsoft 365 apps you use. Helping you quickly write, analyze, create, and summarize. So you can cut through clutter and clear a path to your best work. Learn more at Microsoft.com/M365Copilot.
Back here on our radio simulcast with Disney Plus and ESPN app. Steve Young going to join us shortly on the program. And we take your phone calls. Let's take one right now. Gabriel in Washington State has been a resident Seahawk fan calling in a lot. Congratulations, Gabriel. You must be on cloud nine, bud.
Oh, baby. Gentlemen, good morning. Yes, it is a great day. And I'm proud and honored you call me a resident Seahawks fan. That's been my goal since I ever started dialing your phone number, Rich.
Hey, buddy, I appreciate that. You've been calling a lot, talking about your Seahawks, giving me crap for needing to see more. But hopefully I gave them the proper due off the end of this.
I don't want to point out all the times you picked against them. I don't want to point out. The only thing that made me uncomfortable was everyone talking about the Seahawks this last 2 weeks and everyone picking the Seahawks. What made me really uncomfortable was all the bettors were on the Seahawks, and there was an article on ESPN saying the books back the Patriots. And I was like, I am a tinfoil hat kind of guy in life. I'm trying not to be or whatever, but football, stay out of football. I don't want to believe that. I've never wanted to believe that, but seeing the result yesterday and like no flags in a clean game, was like, all right, you're absolutely right. I've never believed there's tinfoil or, you know, the thumb on the scale for NFL games. But that just goes to show that Vegas does not have any way on NFL games. But anyways, I just want to say the dark side, turn the lights out. One of the best defenses of all time. If you punch in, I'm not a big numbers guy. I've had someone try to explain it to me about Aaron Schatz, DVOA. This defense has a better DVOA than the LOB defense had. So if you want to look at some numbers, they're a better defense in the record book. But I think we're built for the long haul. Majority of guys on the defensive line are coming back. Maffei's going to be a free agent. He might walk to take some money, but he could be replaced in the second, the first or second round of the draft.
Yeah, and you got the right, and you
Riley
got the right,
Mills,
and you got
Riley
the
Mills.
Yep, and you got the
looking like Justin Smith last night. That's the rookie that we got out of Notre Dame.
I know
he only fell to the fifth round because he tore up his knee in the semifinal in last season's college football playoff.
And he also, I've got a stat for you on that one, and then and we're up against the end of the hour, and I will wish you a good rest of your Super Bowl victory Monday. Riley Mills became the fifth player since sacks were recorded to record their first career sack in the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow.
Thanks for the call.
Good one.
That's the way to basically say, you know what?
Congrats.
I don't have a sack yet. Oh, I got my first career sack in the Super Bowl.
That's pretty cool.
You want to know the other one names? These are names we just haven't mentioned. Cam Gill did it in Super Bowl 55. Thomas Everett did it in Super Bowl 27. Alvoid Mays did it in Super Bowl 26. And the first to ever do it, Ben Thomas in Super Bowl 20. That's it. So you got guys who have never had a sack in their professional career say, I'll just do it in the Super Bowl. That's the way it was all working for the Seattle Seahawks. And why not? Indeed. So Steve Young's about to join us in hour number two. More of your phone calls, more reaction from Super Bowl 60. The Overreaction Monday podcast is officially up. Chris Brockman and I already chopped that up. So check that out on our YouTube channel, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.